You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I rise up, I rise like the day. I rise up, I rise unafraid. I rise up, and I do it a thousand times again. And I rise up, I like the waves. I rise up, in spite of the ache. I rise up, and I do it a thousand. The silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I do it a thousand times again. To you, to you, to you. But that we have each other.
Also got a special guest, and I'm your other co-host, Eric Iago Jr. And we'd like to thank you for coming live and tuning in and sharing your time with us this morning on Man Cave Dialogue. Call your family and friends and come join in. You could dial 9 and press 1 to join the show. Family, we'd like to thank everyone for their continued support of Man Cave Dialogue. We had an interesting topic last week. Who are your superheroes? How did you like that show, C's?
It was awesome. It was really awesome. I liked that at the end of the show, me and you got a chance to spend time together. We went back downtown to where we were talking about the shelters, and we gave back. I dropped some of my daughter's clothes off to the women's shelter, and you dropped some off at the men's shelter, and we got to hang out with Keith. And it was just an awesome weekend just to get back to where we did before, you know. So it was a wonderful feeling.
Jack, how you doing, sir?
Very well, Mr. Yarborough, Mr. Eric Singer, and Eric Jr. Great to be on the show today. Okay. Eric Jr. is a graduate of Baltimore Collegiate School for Boys, which is in Baltimore City. We were founded in 2015, or rather we opened our doors to 175 boys throughout, from every single zip code in Baltimore, to a school that was focused on the African American, the black boy, and his growth and his development into strong, young black men. And Eric Jr. is an example of that. And I'm also grateful to Eric Sr. When he showed up at our school, on day one, this was one guy who came to me and said, what can I do to contribute to the work you're doing? And he ended up being our basketball coach of the most winning team in all of basketball history in Baltimore. And that team still is winning, but you laid the foundation. And not only were you a great coach, but you cared about these boys on and off the court. And, you know, checked their grades, and you knew their parents, and you put them in your car, you took them to tournaments, you did all those things, and that was the vision that I had for a school, that we as a community would act like a village and wrap our arms around every single boy, regardless if they were my son or your son or somebody else's son or grandson or nephew. It was important that we demonstrated love every day to our boys, and that we held them up and pointed the way north for them. So Baltimore Collegiate was then and remains more than a school. We do quite well academically. We do quite well academically, and and I think we do quite well in developing our boys into strong young men. So we spend a lot of time on character development, and we care about what kind of man our boys will become. So in short, our mission is to transform a generation of young men who will become the next leaders in our community, the nation, and the world.
That is wonderful, sir. Could you tell us where you're located and maybe how our listeners can be in contact with you?
Yes, we are in Baltimore, in East Baltimore, at 2525 Kirk Avenue. We are recruiting families primarily in the fourth grade. We're grades 4 through 8, so we start in fourth grade. And you can go to our website and enroll. It's www.baltimorecollegiate, the collegiate spelled collegiate.org, www.baltimorecollegiate.org. We're a Baltimore City school. You must be a city resident. We're a Baltimore City charter school, and you must be a city resident.
Okay, that is wonderful. Now, you were indicating that you had, is there a particular age that you work with?
Yes, we are focused on presently the middle school years. And so we start at fourth grade, and people ask us, why do you start at fourth grade? The reason is quite simple, is that fourth grade is that age where many boys may begin to experience the fourth grade failure syndrome. That is, if they're not reading at grade level in fourth grade, they start to slowly opt out of school. They'll come late, they're less engaged, and they're frustrated by school, quite honestly. And so we start fourth grade with the intention that you're going to, like, understand, I didn't say that correctly. We start out with the intention that our boys need to understand the value of education, and their families need to understand the value of education. Our boys wear ties. They shake the hands of the principal every single morning. They refer to teachers as sir and ma'am. Those things go a long way to establish a seriousness about education. So we start in fourth grade and we go to eighth grade. We're about to soon petition to go down to kindergarten or pre-K and open a school in pre-K. So it'll be pre-K through eighth, and I hope in the next 2 to 3 years we will open a high school.
Oh, you're looking at a high school for what grades are you going to start in your high school, or is there a particular curriculum for the high school?
We will, we have plans and we've designed a school that would be IB High School, International Baccalaureate High School, and we'll start with ninth grade and through 12. Like I said, we're not going to do that immediately. Our first goal is to open our primary school program, and then the next step would be, the next phase would be the high school. We are also, since I assume you have national listeners, we are in the last stages preparing to open a school in Philadelphia called Philadelphia Collegiate School for Boys, and that school will be K through 12.
Outstanding. I think we're doing a wonderful job. Eric, what do you think about this situation that this gentleman is talking about? I think it's great for all the young people.
Yeah, I always had a big respect for Jack. Jack allowed me to, allow my son first, to come to the school, and he gave me an opportunity to be the coach for the team. And I think that was a big thing for me. I think that's when me and Jack really had a great connection. And that's why I wanted him to come on, because today was all about uplifting and raising, young boys and girls to being strong men and women. And, Jack always had a vision of uplifting young boys of color like me and him. And, EJ, Dr. Charles Dean, and C. So I thought that was always a big thing, and that's why I wanted to bring Jack on. And, he had an ambition just like me of trying to help him, That was our main goal and focus. We both went above and beyond to help out the kids, and that was a big thing for me, So that's why I wanted to bring you on today,
Eric,
for this topic.
But, Eric, I want to say this in front of your son, that you were dad number one in terms of you didn't, how should I say it? You were harder on your son than you were on the other boys. And that's what I grew up with. Why, Dad, are you so hard on me? And you're so nice to these other boys. So I saw that in you. But you also, I think by being demanding what you want out of your son, good grades and all that, the boys knew that you didn't play with your son, and that you had the right relationship with your son, which is, you're a great basketball player. I'm going to help you be. I think Eric Jr. was amazing three-point shooter. Am I right? I'm making this up. As if they were your own.
Jack, the Moses know that you have their best interests. They'll respect you a lot more. So I think that was a big thing. I think they just knew that I had their best interests, and they was able to respect me and give me their all. So I think that's a big thing within, the young boys and girls. Once they feel like, you know, they respect you and they feel like you have their back, they'll go above and beyond for you. How you feel about that, Jack?
Oh, that's become clearer to me since the time you guys were at the school. You know, we place a premium on relationships that adults have with our students, from the front office staff, Ms. White, Ms. Lee, to our teachers, to our, you know, our fellows, our young people that come in from all over the country to be tutors in the school. We say, we begin our school year every year saying, your relationship with the boys that you have responsibility for is the most important thing. You have to have an authentic and real relationship with them. And if they feel that you love them, they have a trust in you, they have respect for you and your work, they will walk through walls for you. And I can tell you how one example of that is that during this pandemic, we have not physically been in a school building since last March. And we managed to maintain full capacity at the school. And also, 98% of our boys attend online classes every single day, 98%. And that's a direct result, I think, of the relationship we have with our boys. If you are 1 minute late, your mentor is calling your house and finding out where you are. So relationships matter.
That's important. That's very important. That's something that's needed even at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Relationships matter.
Yeah.
You know, and if I could, you know, since this is the man cave conversation, and I assume the theme is always about, you know, what we as black men can do in our lives, I think it's important that we have strong relationships with each other. One thing we've seen with our boys from collegiate that they have stayed close, remained close to each other after leaving the school, and are, you know, side by side with each other and almost like a posse. And I think that's a really good thing, because they challenge each other and support each other. We're sending this year our eighth graders, 50% of them qualified to go to the top two schools in Baltimore, the historic, I don't have any preference, City and Poly. So we have over 50 boys that will be at those two schools next year.
Yeah, that's a big accomplishment, Jack. And, you know, that all boils down to, you know, everything that you and your staff has done for, you know, the young boys. You know, personally, myself, I know EJ talks to about 10 to 15 of the guys, and every time he's on the phone with them, they always say, hey, where's Coach Yarbrough? So, I mean, that gives me a good feeling that, you know, I did something correct with those boys, so.
You know, I think in our community, you know, we've talked enough about the murder and the pipeline, the prison and all that. We can have a conversation all day long about that. But we got to create, and I think we are creating, what you just told me about Eric and his buddies, a pipeline to success in life. You know, I want every boy to go to college, but I think that as they see each other, they're going to, you know, I don't know about you, but my closest friendships are based in honesty and truth. And if I step to the left or I step to the right, my good friends are going to tell me, hey, you're doing the wrong thing here. Hey, why'd you drop out of high school? Or, you know, and we haven't heard of any of our boys dropping out of high school. And we know a couple boys that are doing some things that teenagers do, and we're leaning in and we're talking to them about that. But, you know, no one's called me to show up in a court somewhere. And I would show up in the court for any of our boys that get in trouble. I would show up. I know that if I saw Eric Yarbrough walking down the street and I saw him doing something wrong, I look him in the eye and say, I know where you're from and I know who you are and I know what you're capable of. And And that's like an old thing. I mean, when you look at the high schools that our parents went to, the schools that our grandparents went to, those old black educators never gave, I shouldn't have said old black educators, it doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean. Those people never, ever gave up on people. They just didn't give up on people. And what we see in our community is that we're giving up on people. And because we give up on them, they give up on us, and then we have all this disruption and violence and harm in our community, not to mention, you know, producing families that you can't afford to care for. I can go down that road if you want me to, but I won't.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely understand, Jack. There's multiple, you know, kids that, you know, me as coaching, you know, I went to the house and see the issues and problems. And, I mean, you just got to relate to kids these days. I think you got to, I think a lot of people is not really understanding of what these kids go through on a day-to-day basis.
Well, especially now. Especially now, we have boys that are, mama's out working at the dollar store and the older brother is caring for his younger brothers and sisters, in the house and trying to also to be online to learn. We've gotten up close to families and their struggles. And I say, to our boys, now more so than I did when Eric was there, we can't change everyone gets a deck of cards, a hand. You know, what's your hand cards? What's in your hand? If you play hearts, you play bidwits, you play euchre, you know, you all got a hand of cards. Some people get dealt bad cards. That's just life. But if you're in the game of life, and life to some extent is a game, you can pick up new cards and put down the old ones. You know, if dad wasn't there, you know, find another dad like Eric Yarbrough, you know, and that's what you were, you know. If mom's not there, find another mom, you know. I mean, those are decisions that, unfortunately, that some 12-year-old children have to make, you know. Who's going to guide me through life? Because I cannot do this by myself.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jack, we're at the halfway point. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back. Is that okay with you? You can hang on with us still?
Very much so. Yeah, I can.
Okay. All right, so let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back, everybody. Thank you.
The world is yours. I sit the dumb peak watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes all the words past the margin. The whole of mic I'm throbbing, mechanical movement, understandable smoothness that murderers move with. The thief theme, play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins I'm embracing, wipe the sweat off my dome, spit the phlegm on the street. Sway Tim's on my feet, make my cypher complete. Weather cruising in a six cab, a Montero Jeep, I can't call it. The beats make me falling asleep, I keep falling. We're never falling 6 feet deep. I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Say what?
I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Say what?
I'm out for dead presidents to represent me.
The world is this.
The world is yours. The world is yours.
The world is mine. The world is this.
The world is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine,
the world is yours. So my man, ill will go.
God bless your life. To my pigeons, to wild queens, God bless your life. I trick and box like crazy, just aiming guns and all my baby bitches. Beef with housing police for these scriptures that may be Hitler's. Yet I'm the mal money, getting foul, rolling foul. The versatile honey, sticking wild, golden child, dwelling in the rotten apple. You get tackled, a caught by the devil's lasso. There's a hassle. There's no days for broke days. We're selling smoke paid while all the old folks pray. The Jesus soaking their sins and praise. A holy water, odds against Nas and slaughter. Finger the word best is driving my life. To name my daughter my strength. My son the star will be my resurrection. Born in correction, all the wrong that God did. He'll lead in right direction. How you living large or broke or charge cards are mediocre. You're flipping coca, playing spit stays and script poker. Poker.
It's yours.
The world is yours. Yo, the world is yours. The world is yours.
There's greatness in all of us, and Kimberly Renee is a firm believer that everyone should live in their own truth. As a certified motivational coach and speaker, she uses her platform to propel others towards wholeness, great relationships, and accomplishing their goals. Join Kimberly Renee for Tips of Life, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, here on LoveRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We have along with me and Eric Jr., and we was talking about, you know, raising young boys and girls to strong men and women. And, you know, Jack gave us the rundown about, you know, Baltimore Collegiate School for Boys. So, Jack, I mean, I have a quick question for you. Raising young men and boys, being role models and teaching them about planning, teaching them about model respect. How do your school prepare them for that?
Several ways. I think one, we start our day with a morning assembly. This is after the boys line up and shake hands with the principal and other people. And the purpose of that is to greet them, look them in the eye, and just check and make sure that you're ready for learning. And then we have a morning assembly, which these days are pretty much student-led and are focused on, one, our school model, which is whatever hurts my brother hurts me, whatever helps my brother helps me. And then there'll be a speaker and a conversation about whatever's in the news that we need to talk about. There'll be a celebration of of each other, whether it be in some sporting competition or something else, outside robotics competition, whatever it might be. And then we end with the creed, which Eric knows by heart, I'm sure, which starts as we have an important mission. We don't have time or talent to waste, and the entire school recites that creed in the loudest voice possible. And to me, that instills, over time, respect for our work, our community, and each other. And that's where it all begins. You know, how do we respect each other? I can differ with you on a variety of things, but do I respect you is, I think, what is lost in our community and which leads to so many conflicts. So knowing how to respect people and respectfully disagree with people, which is what we do in our classrooms. We have something called gentleman talk, where the boys have a conversation about something, and the conversation almost should always look the same, in the sense that we ask questions because we want our boys to be able to be critical thinkers and discuss any topic. I've seen our boys have vigorous debates about the NBA and basketball, and, you know, what can be more disagreeable? But, you know, they'll say, you know, I hear what you're saying, my friend, but I respectfully disagree. And so that's another form of respect, how we engage each other. You know, extremism, we don't do this yet, but I would love to, every time an adult walks into a room, I would love to have, as we see in our schools around the world, we have affiliated schools in London. When I say affiliated schools, we partner with all boys schools in London and Toronto and Sydney, Australia. We were heading to Johannesburg before the COVID crisis. And in most of those schools, if an adult walks into a classroom, all the boys will stand and remain standing until they're told to be seated. I would love to do that. We're not there yet. You know, we're a work in progress. But I've heard on the street that whenever our boys are encountered, people know us by our blue shirts and our ties. The boys are always seem to demonstrate extraordinary respect for others and adults.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing, Jack. And personally for me, I wanted to ask, I guess, and then I'll let EJ ask you a question. What was the hardest thing you feel that you had to do within for the boys, like just getting to school and everything together? What's the hardest thing?
I hope I can be blunt. I thought everyone would want in Baltimore, everyone, I mean, the city government, the mayor, the governor, our congressmen, our city leaders, community leaders, philanthropists. I thought Baltimore Collegiate would be an easier sell to those people. We encountered a lot of early suspicion that I still can't make sense of why somebody really wouldn't want to support an organization this big and significant, making a real change in the lives of black boys in Baltimore. We have, since 2015, educated roughly 750 boys, and that's 750 families, and that's roughly, you know, two members per family. That's, you know, 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 people who in Baltimore who are supportive of our work, you know, who invested their most precious resource, their son, into our school. But, you know, we encountered resistance. And that resistance not there today. A lot of people, a lot of the naysayers and the people who were just sitting on the sidelines and not, you know, coming up to the plate to help the way you did, Yarborough, you know, now they're coming every day. We get calls every day. People, this organization wants to help. These people want to come speak. And we've raised almost $2 million in the city in 5 years, and that's pretty amazing. And we're going on to Philadelphia, and we're able to be in Philadelphia because of our early success in Baltimore. And we're going to go to 10 cities in 10 years. You will see the collegiate movement expand to 10 cities around the world with 10,000 boys. That's my goal by 2030. But to answer your question, Eric, it was not easy. I'm not so sure if someone told me how hard it was, if I would do this all over again. But I am kind of doing it in Philadelphia, and I'm doing it for the right reason. We're doing it for the right reason. I want to say I don't do this alone. I do this with amazing, our amazing families, our amazing staff, our board. And, you know, there's a whole network of people now supporting our work. But in the early days, it felt pretty lonely.
So, Mr. Pennell.
Yes, sure.
So, like, how is it now since, like, you experienced
like, since you've experienced more boys, because I know it's growing now, because it used to be, you know, a little smaller, but now how is it, like, how do you think you adjusted since the first graduating class?
Yeah. Well, Eric, you were in the class called the Vanguard class, right? Eric, you were in the, EJ, you were in the Vanguard class, which was the first class of boys graduate from the school, and you all are now juniors in high school. And one thing, and we're going to be in touch with you very soon, to begin walking with you to college with some support services. The school has grown. We're at 480 boys. They're roughly, your class had 55 boys in it or so, and now I think there are close to 100 boys now in the eighth grade. We finally have a permanent school home in one building with a great basketball court. You got to come see it. In fact, some of your buddies are already playing basketball on the court. Every alumnus is welcome to come back and play. And our staff has changed quite a lot. We're now almost up to 60% of the teachers are men. That's a significant change. Our fellows program, I think when you were there, there were 12 fellows. We now have almost 30 fellows. And we're developing these global partnerships around the world, which is going to allow us to do some exchanges with students and send them off for two or three months to study at other schools. And the boys from those schools will also come to our school. I think we're growing and into an institution you should be always proud of, and you are always welcome to come back and talk about your great success.
Yes, I do remember a time in Montreal when we went to that all-boys school and we played that game. And
you are, yes.
And
you are famous. You are famous for that. You know what happened,
yeah,
right?
We are very competitive, and I won that whole game. So that was, that was different. Just going to Montreal to see how they, like, how their school is compared to ours.
Yeah, they, the headmaster of that school is just, every time I see him, he says, how is Eric doing? Because, what was the game? Was it Simon Says or something like that? I can't remember, but.
It was a game like that, but it wasn't Simon Says. It was a game like it. I forgot what it was called.
I want to say something, Eric. I hope that you, I don't know what is coming up this summer, if we're going to be able to do in-person teaching, like in our, prep and collegiate program, which is our summer program. But it's time now for you guys who are juniors going to seniors in high school. I would love to see you come back to the school and get back and, in tutoring or going on a camping trip with us or even the international trips. I hope you're forever, we call you old boys, you're forever a member of our family.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
All right, Jack, so I think we got about like 10 more minutes. I got a couple more questions I want to ask you.
Sure.
What's the biggest thing that y'all do to help the boys learn accountability and self-discipline.
Oh, great question. One thing I think that the COVID and virtual learning is learning, is teaching people everywhere, school leaders everywhere, is that we haven't done enough to really develop our students around self-discipline. I think it takes a lot of self-discipline to be in your house. You like to know that for us, this is unique, but you have to be on camera. The camera must be on the whole time. You must be in your uniform or polo shirt and engaged. And from 8:30 to 2 o'clock, there's a break in there, and there's, you got some other classes you go to and all that. You know, that takes a lot of self-discipline. It wasn't easy because there's so many distractions in our household, distractions in my household. And so, like, how do we build self-discipline is something that's really on my mind. Really on my mind as we work through, you might have heard a break. Someone called me while we're on. You know, that's really on my mind how we develop that skill and that, you know, that quality of mind in our boys. But I think that there's one of the things that there are five things that we want every collegiate boy to be able to demonstrate. And the fifth thing that goes answers your question, I think, we want every collegiate boy to be able to think critically, to reason analytically, to communicate clearly, and to solve problems. And the fifth one is what I would call demonstrate agency, or another word for that is chutzpah. I think when in the world of work that I do, at the level that I do it at, is the great achievers in life, the people who get stuff done, and who, you know, have great jobs or run great businesses, they all have one common character trait, I think. And that's agency or chutzpah. That, by that, I mean they have a sense of almost entitlement or confidence that whatever they put their mind to, they're going to be successful at. And they're not afraid to reach big for the things they want in life. And that is something we're trying to identify early in every single boy and help them understand for the rest of their life what kind of gift that is to have chutzpah or agency.
I appreciate that, Jack. One last thing, I guess, before we go. I know you had a graduating class last June, I guess, and I know y'all probably went around to get the degrees and stuff. How did that change, like, make you feel? I know you're used to having the big graduation and everybody looks forward.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We didn't have that big party with African drumming and ceremony and all that. It was Archie Tyson, principal of the school. It was his idea that that's what we should do, is we went around to every single household, every eighth grade boy, and gave them their eighth grade diploma on the front steps of their house in a ceremony. We did 85 separate ceremonies, and it was amazing experience. You know, we were socially distanced. I think this was before people started wearing masks, and, you know, we weren't supposed to do that. People didn't want us to do it. and all that. But, you know, Evan Singleton, the amazing Evan Singleton, organized those visits. We went all over town and into the county, everywhere we needed to go, grandma's house, auntie's house, wherever you wanted us to. And we took pictures. You might have seen that picture series of the boys in the street holding their diploma. We stopped traffic. And it was a great experience. And, you know, and it's a sign, it's an example of we will go to any length to recognize and honor our boys for the hard work they do. And every boy, I think, learns the value of hard work as a collegiate. And also, you know, how we set high expectations for them, and we're not going to give up on them. And, you know, we're family forever.
Yeah, you're right, because me and you, you know, we don't see each other as much, but we always just reach out and say, hey, how you doing, what's going on? So you're definitely right about that. Do you have anything, I guess, in closing you want to say to all the listeners, you know, encouragement or anything for, you know, their young boys and girls that they have?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we're going through extraordinary times. I think there are silver linings in the COVID. You know, we are hope to experiment with some boys have really thrived working from home and don't want to take away that experience. And so we're looking at ways in which, even if we somehow return to normalcy, that we could do hybrid learning at home. And so, you know, maybe a boy who's advanced academically in math could take a geometry class with another school at home or at school in a kind of like lab. And so we're thinking about that. And I would say, you know, for those people out there, particularly with boys, African-American boys, that this is a critical time to lean into these boys and point the future with them, not for them, but stand by them. And together you guys figure out, you know, what's the future. I, you know, as a parent myself, it's like I have opinions on what I think my son should do. And he has opinions on what he should do. You know, he's in college, and we now talk about, I talk less about being his dad and more like being his co-pilot. And he's going to make mistakes and decisions I disagree with, but I'm by his side. I've got his back. And I think we need to do that as a community, with each other and for each other. Because at the end of the day, what our work is about community and human development. And everyone is transformed in our school, not just the students, but the teachers and the parents and everyone else. So as you see us move across the country, be aware of that and come out and support us. We have 150 families that are helping to open Philadelphia Collegiate. The next city we're going to, I think, is going to be Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, New York. And then Syracuse and Oakland and Nashville.
Thanks again, everybody. See you next week.
I just might have a